This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Live from the dungeon.
Just when you thought it was safe to put on a podcast, the legend continues. Place to Be Nation presents Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith.
My weapon is large for bodies, I'm strapped for battle. My soul is in the crossroads and highs fulfilling. Somewhere deep inside the spirit to rise the killer. I'm too distant to talk, my vicious assault is inflicted in parts to slit you a stick in your heart. I got nothing to lose and nothing to gain. Only way I'm dying is up in flames. I'm stuck in the game.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to another episode of Freak Out Drive-In. I'm Jennifer Smith. Thank you for listening. So tonight, I am joined by my dear close personal friend, Greg Phillips. He is one half of the Hard Traveling Fanboys, of course. And he wanted to watch Predator. So we're going to watch Predator. I don't have a lot of childhood memories from this movie. It was not something that we watched too much, but I do have very faint memories of maybe watching it on TV. So this was basically sort of new for me. And then Greg, of course, he loves it and knows it by heart. So I knew that this would be a fun movie to watch with him in particular. There was some debate whether Predator is a horror movie, but I think that Greg and I pretty much decided that it is. We build our case while we watch this movie, and it falls into several genres, I think, but decidedly in the horror realm. I'm just going to say it. You know, tweet me if you don't agree. I'm at JennyCruz2814. So, I hope you enjoy this. We watched Predator on the HBO Now /Go app, which, why are there two? Like, isn't it the same thing? Whatever. So, you can watch it for free there if you have that. I didn't find it streaming anywhere else. But turn it on and watch Predator with me and Greg. I think it was entertaining. It was by the end of the movie, I think he had sold me on it. But no spoilers. But enjoy.
Well, what I had planned is I was planning on filing my taxes for next year. I have two fantasy drafts going on, one wrestling and one football. What else do I have going on? I'm playing a game of NCAA football 2014 on my PS3 as well at the same time, and which is amazing because I only have one television. So I'm going to be flipping the source back and forth during the course of the podcast. And then I figured I'd wrap it up by writing my first Nostine.
No.
Is certainly not high definition. Certainly not 4K. Dare I say it may only be at about 500. Okay, I don't know what any of that means, but people are welcome to tweet me at JRsBBQ if I have no idea about how visuals work in television and or movie production.
You would think that we would know more about it than we do, considering how much we watch.
Yeah. I mean, if it's true that simply consuming something for a long time makes you an expert at it,
right.
I should be a damn expert at televisions and multimedia in general. I mean, 4K, I should be able to tell you exactly what the hell that means and why it works the way it does. But unfortunately, the only thing I'm really an expert in is eating things.
Same. All right, so tell me, you know, I talked to you about doing this movie. Tell me why you like this movie.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, I have to say, I always forget about this part. Every time I watch Predator, I always forget about this opening in space where you see the rocket ship falls to Earth. And I think it's because growing up, I watched this movie on TV so much. Mm-hmm. And I would always pick it up maybe 15, 20 minutes in and then never turn it off. Because Predator, as I'm going to hopefully lay out during the course of this episode, is not just one of the most iconic and memorable action movies of the 80s. I would say it's one of the best action movies of all time. And because this is a horror movie podcast, I believe it qualifies as a truly great horror movie as well.
See, I was gonna talk about that a little bit because I was on the fence about it. You know, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I think sci-fi, I think action, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm not actually for sure if it's a horror movie, but it does have a horrible creature in it, so that does seem to lend itself to it.
And there you see Jesse the Body Ventura. Just an outstanding character here. But nonetheless, yes, I get your conundrum, but here's the thing that it comes down to. Number one, yeah, you got the creature of the Predator here, and he is a practical effect creature. You know, it's a suit.
Right.
And it's a it's something that was made. It's not the CGI nonsense, I say, that you see today in movies. It is an actual thing that someone made by hand that looks realistic. At least as realistic as a monster can look, you know, mm-hmm. and it looks great. It's a great design. It's a creature who preys on people when they least expect it. This is a movie that relies a lot, as we'll see, on camouflage and shifting perspectives where you see things from the predator's eyes at different times. Mm-hmm. And it creates a feeling of dread as you go to become attached to this group of commandos here, whether it be Billy or Mac or any of these commandos that you see in this movie. What you see is they get picked off one by one over the course of the film, and it does create this sense of dread like any great horror movie where you have the cast of main characters. Of course, you have the main character, whether it be Jamie Lee Curtis in your last movie mm-hmm. that you watched or whether it be Arnold in this one, where they're the main character, so they're probably safe until the end of the movie at least, but everybody else in the cast is fair game, and you're going to see them get picked off as the movie goes on. And then the second thing that makes it a horror movie is it's your fucking show, and you can call it whatever.
See, that's all you really had to say, honestly. You've been hanging out with Absolutely. Nick Duke too much.
For real, I know. I'm using such foul blue language. And frankly, I apologize to all my fans at home, mainly my parents, and anyone else that may listen to that other show that I'm on that I won't name right now.
Yeah, please don't. Just kidding. All right.
So I was gonna say you're supposed to be the hard traveling fan girl, and you're over here giving me a hard time here. But no, you asked me why I love Predator. I mean, let's be honest, Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger. There I go again.
There we go.
But this is a great scene. Yeah. The mid-air arm wrestling match. Dylan, you son of a bitch. What's the matter? CIA got you pushing too many pencils? I mean, this is like, if this isn't the 80s in a nutshell, I don't know what is. What represents Americana more than an Austrian man arm wrestling his muscle-bound friend in mid-air?
Why would he even think he has a chance at doing that? Like, there's no way he's winning that against Arnold.
Well, you know, that's true, but here's the thing about Dutch, who of course is Arnold's character here. Mm-hmm. Dutch, you know, he kind of doesn't trust Dylan anymore. You know, Dylan has gone soft, as he mentions here, by pushing too many pencils. Mm-hmm. So he views it as kind of challenging the manhood of Dylan to see if he's still got it. Dylan, on the other hand, played by Carl Weathers, he's maybe gotten a little corporate in his old age, but you have to give him this. That is one built man. Yeah. Carl Weathers in phenomenal shape around this time. You know, he was still in Apollo Creed shape around this time. Clearly been clanging and banging, brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all fine and good, but it's Arnold, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, well,
the proper way – now, granted, this is how I greet all my friends in real life is by arm wrestling them in midair. Who
well,
doesn't?
Yeah. But
you do too. Yeah, exactly. So, but the thing with Arnold is the proper way to greet Arnold is to drop to your knees and just bow to the man.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
Well,
okay.
You know, I will let the listeners take that wherever their minds wants to take them, and I will just say yes to the question of whatever you may be asking that I should do here. Oh, and this is an iconic scene itself. You got Long Tall Sally by Little Richard playing, which to this day Russell Sellers and I will sometimes just in mid conversation start saying, "Gonna have some fun tonight. Gonna have some fun tonight." Which is a reference to a scene later on in the movie with Mac that I'll get to. And then Jesse the Body is just tremendously obnoxious here.
Oh, he's
it'll make
so
you
good
a goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus.
See, I remember this movie very vaguely from when I was a kid. It's not one of those ones that we watched a lot. I feel like my brother and my cousins were into it. Some, but not as much. Maybe we didn't have it on tape or something, and that's why we didn't watch it as much. Or we couldn't catch it on TV. But I don't remember much of it.
So it's kind of – so this is going to be a fun new experience. Yeah. You're re-experiencing the joy. The problem is when you're watching it without the sound, you lose all the great one-liners. You know, you lose the powerful accents, you know, Jesse the Body playing Blaine Cooper here. Little known, not little known, but an interesting tidbit that I didn't know until a few years ago. The nerd guy, quote unquote, in the helicopter, Rick Hawkins with the glasses,
yeah.
You know who that is?
Shane Black.
That is Shane Black, yes. The writer of Predator, who of course would go on to write. No, I'm sorry, he didn't write Predator. My bad, he did not write Predator, but he did write Lethal Weapon and numerous other motion films, and it's just interesting that he got his start here as an actor, playing this character of Rick in Predator. He's written Lethal Weapon and Lethal Weapon 2. He's written The Last Boy Scout. This is all off the top of my head. I'm not looking at his Wikipedia page to find out any of this information about Shane Black. He also wrote Last Action Hero and, would you believe it, The Long Kiss Goodnight. He made his directorial debut with the film Kiss Kiss Bang Bang in 2005.
Love that movie.
Me too. It's a great, great film. We should do less than not a horror movie.
No, yeah. Those helicopters are like, when they do the exterior shots, they're all like banging around, like swirling around. But then on the inside, they're very stationary. So,
well, that's I think that's because it's a perspective thing. You see, when you're as grizzled and hard as these men are, these individuals that are part of this commando unit, to you, your helicopter could be spinning around out of control, but to them, it's just normal because that's the kind of shit they've been through. They have seen some things, Jenny. So while to us it may look, oh my God, that helicopter's flying all over the place, in their perspective, it's all just normal. That's just their natural state of being.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. It's not at all bullshit in any way, shape, or form.
I have. You're saying it's all bullshit, all of it.
You never were that smart, Greg.
Now I want to hear you say it in the accent.
No. That's why you're on my show, so you could do the accents.
Oh, my gosh. So one of the characters I haven't mentioned yet, which I'm going to blow through all these characters so early in the movie, but
Blow them, baby.
I love blowing Predator characters. Billy! Okay, Billy is mine and my friend Greg Orsino's favorite side character in here because he is, as best I can put it, an ethnic stereotype of a Native American man.
Oh Lord.
Who naturally has the ability to track very well.
He senses
things in nature and he puts across his line of Oscar like black makeup across his face. And he's played by real life actor and real life crazy person Sonny Landham.
Why is he a real life crazy person?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, I'm going to read here a little bit of his history. Landon was accused of calling for genocide against Arabs on the show The Weekly Filibuster. He has multiple times run for public office unsuccessfully. He also spent 3 years in prison as a result of making threatening and obscene phone calls to his wife.
You can go to prison for that?
I'm reading that, and I thought the same thing. I mean, my God, Jenny, you should be in jail 10 times
Hey, you don't know me.
Just kidding. See,
as a child, never mind.
No, wait just a second.
It's all if you're underage, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, all the records are sealed and whatnot.
Yes, yes. It's like that old Go-Go's song. Mm-hmm. Our records are sealed.
Exactly.
So yeah, one of the great things I love about this movie is when it starts out, it's a flat out unapologetic 80s action movie. Like, you got the damn jungle setting, you got these military dudes in badass outfits, and they're showing up in the jungle to go in and take out warlords or whatever the hell they're after. Maybe barbarians even, I don't know. And they're there and they've got their, you know, they've got their machine guns and their, you know, whatever army guys carried around in the 80s. Probably the same thing they carry around now, I guess. So they got their guns and their knives and their whatnot. And you think imagine watching this for the first time and you don't really pick up on that part at the beginning that shows the rocket landing, because mm-hmm. it's a little kind of vague as to what's going on. So you're watching this movie for the first time and you're thinking, hey, a movie about army men and they're killing you know, they're going in and they're launching a rescue mission in the middle of the jungle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only for about, I don't remember how long it is into the movie, before it will switch courses and become almost like an investigative, like, mystery, mm-hmm. where who is causing all this havoc, and then it becomes a monster movie. This is a movie that really encapsulates a lot of different genres at the same time, whether it be horror, action, sci-fi, to your point. It kind of combines, even comedy, I would argue, at times, because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's Arnold, so there's always going to be an element of comedy in there.
Oh, is this the guy? The tracker
guy? Billy. He's the tracker, yep. Who is not to be confused with 80s television character Trapper John M.D. or whatever the hell he was called. There's a reference so dated that not even I get it.
All right. So who – I missed the part – you said it was a rescue mission, right?
Yeah.
Who are they trying to rescue?
I'm glad you asked, Jenny. That's a great question.
Could you read it to me from Wikipedia?
No, I'm going to read it. I'm not going to read anything to you, Jenny. I'm embarrassed and ashamed that you would even suggest such a thing. I'm going to tell you, because I've seen the movie so many times, exactly what they're here to do.
All right.
You see this elite military rescue team, Mac, Billy, Blaine, Poncho, Hawkins, are tasked by their commander with rescuing an official being held hostage by not warlords or barbarians, but insurgents. And of course, Dylan, who is a former commando, tie it together now. Commando, a.k.a. the greatest action movie of all time, also starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's all, you know, it's a little nice little nod there, mm-hmm. I like to think.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I believe that this Central American jungle that they go to, mm-hmm. is called, or this area is called Val Verde, which is also the name, as any attuned listener would know, of the fictitious country in Commando, in which Arnold's John Matrix character shows up and murders the entire island as revenge for kidnapping his daughter. So, you know, this is a Yeah. There's a great article online about how Val Verde was used so many times in action movies in the 80s. It also makes an appearance in Die Hard 2, Die Harder, as a fictitious country.
Hmm.
And so basically that's the answer to your question, is they're here to rescue this guy from this band of misfits or what have you. Good Lord, that's
gross.
Man, you know what they look like? They look like those you ever go to like Panda Express and they have those little like a red chicken that's kind of like sitting on the stick, you know?
No.
It kind of, well, they have it. And it kind of looks like these dead bodies here.
Gross.
There's nothing gross. Oh my God, you see their pelvises too. I can stand a lot, but a pelvis.
It's been skinned. Oh, yeah.
He kicked the bird, King. Are you kidding me? He kicked a damn bird. Well, what in the hell did that bird ever do to him?
All right, so those are the guys that they're looking for.
Right. Well, there's some of them. There's the, okay. I think the main guy they're looking for is still out there somewhere.
All of them are just like, okay, whatever. That
happened. These are guys that Dutch actually knew. They were part of his old team, and so I think Dylan knew them too. And now Dutch is starting to suspect that Dylan is not telling him the truth. Mm. See, Dylan knows a secret from the government that he has not told Arnold or his team.
He knows about the Predator?
He knows that there's something down there, and okay. I don't think the government really knows exactly what it is. They just know that there's something fishy going on down there, and they've not informed Dutch or his team about that.
It's never good when there's something fishy down there.
No. Whether it's the smell or the God forbid the taste. You never want it to be fishy.
Nope. Just doesn't make sense, Greg.
You'd prefer it to taste like chicken.
From Panda Express.
I'm just gonna lay out the rest of this episode. Stop burying myself here.
What if it was just like silence and just like us watching the movie?
Hey, I'd be fine with it. I could turn the volume on and watch and listen to Arnold drop bombs on these bastards. Look at him. And then there's Cook. No, I'm sorry. He's Mac in this movie. That's Bill Dukes. He is the man. He is most known to me as playing Cook in Commando. He pops up again in this Arnold movie as kind of the reverse of Cook, because Cook in Commando is one of the hench people that John Matrix has to mow through in order to get to the his arch nemesis Bennett. And you know something about having arch nemesis named Bennett, I know.
Don't y'all.
So in this movie, however, Bill Dukes is playing Mac. And Mac is like, you know, we have kind of an inverted Commando situation where the Predator is playing the role of John Matrix mowing through Dutch's men. And Mac is Dutch's right-hand man, the way that Cook was the right-hand man of Bennett in some ways.
That's not all at all confusing, but I do like the way that they're showing the heat-seeking sort of
Predator vision.
Yeah, Predator vision. I wonder how they did that.
I don't know. I mean, this is pretty. I mean, I don't know. I hesitate to say if it was cutting edge because I don't know. I was three or whatever when this movie came out, but from what I've seen of other movies of this era, this is pretty cool technology. Pretty cool. Effects.
Right. It doesn't look bad. I was thinking that some of this might look real dated, but honestly, a lot of it has held up so far.
I got to be honest with you. This is a really good transfer of the video. Like, really good. We're watching it on HBO Go, where it's currently streaming. But the other thing about this is the way that it's shot, and this is true. I think that you will find this, Jenny, as you do your show, if you do any more. I know it depends on, you know, how low budget you get with the horror movies, because a lot of them, they didn't have the technology to make this happen. But with stuff like Predator or Aliens or things like that, these movies – oh, my God, that's a hilarious shot. I'm sorry. They cut Billy just staring with his dead, scary eyes. Anyway, so these movies hold up so well. And this one in particular, Jenny, the technology, the because it's all practical effects.
Yeah.
And it looks – is there a reason why he's crawling right now?
I was just wondering that. He just kind of slithered onto the ground.
Couldn't he have, like, crouched? Oh, I see. He's trying to make sure they don't see him. I still think he could have just crouched. Mm-hmm. I think he just wanted them to look at his ass.
That's exactly what it was.
But anyway, no.
I think he had a wedgie and he was trying to work it out.
Well, that happens a lot. I'm telling you.
It does.
Underwear these days. Right. I don't know what it was like in the 80s, but.
I'm pretty sure he goes commando.
You know what? I'm gonna go one further. I think he goes Predator.
What does that mean? He has heat-seeking underwear.
He's seeing underwear. He walks around with a perpetual erection. Just ask his housekeepers. That was a low blow at Arnold. I'm sorry. I didn't. Good God, he killed that man. I don't remember that at all. He just shot that man in the head.
He sure did.
Good Lord, these are bad guys. But they're looking around. Oh, Arnold just did the international lasso motion, which of course means
slither on your belly to malocation.
Everybody do some stupid shit. I love it. I love this movie. So yeah, it holds up really well. The visuals, it looks crisp and clean. It looks the Predator vision was really cool. And in fact, I think there was an NES game. Russell or some other fans of this movie might be able to back me up on this, but I believe there was an NES game based on this that had the Predator vision as the cover, where it was like Predator vision viewing Arnold. Now, of course, I'm certain that when you played the game, it looked nothing like that because it was the NES. But, but I mean, that's just such a cool effect that I had never seen it in a movie before this. And going back and watching movies from that era, I haven't seen it. God, Jesse about ruined everything there. He was his valuable mustache.
Oh, sure.
Now, you've been watching a lot of old wrestling. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Jesse the Body Ventura?
Oh, I love him. He's the best. I have no complaints about anything with Jesse. He has the swagger. He's hilarious. I mean, he's the best.
He says some rather unfortunate things in this movie, but his character is designed to be this over-the-top, obnoxious figure. He's so freaking funny. He's like the equivalent of, like, for anybody that has ever watched... All right, I'm about to nerdify it even more than it already is. For anybody that watched Dragon Ball Z, he's a little bit like Hercule, the character from Dragon Ball Z in this movie. And it works. It just works. Now, one thing you should also pay attention to as this movie advances, Jenny, is Dylan is getting increasingly nervous because he knows something's not right. Mm-hmm. And now Dutch, he's going to get more and more suspicious. And the one thing you don't want is to betray Arnold Schwarzenegger's trust.
Oh, shit. What's going on now? How are they just sneaking up on them like that?
Well, you see, these people that are these insurgents, they are actually also morons.
Oh, obviously. So you need to send your top guys after the morons.
Top guy stuff, Jenny. Mm-hmm. This is top guy stuff right here.
He's just like fucking up all that shit.
Arnold's about to lift this truck into the air. Yes.
And nobody's paying attention. Nobody's noticing it.
This is the greatest movie. Oh my gosh, I love it. For those watching along at home, and those not watching along at home, he literally, Arnold, just picked up this truck, cut the belt that was holding it in place, and let it go as it now distracts him. Now he's just chucking grenades willy nilly,
blowing up everything.
Oh, this is what I'm talking about.
I love explosions.
This is explosion porn. Mm. This is my happy place. Look at all these anonymous people just being blown to smithereens. These guys are my favorite action movie trope. The bad guys just aimlessly shooting in random directions.
I hate CGI fire more than anything, and I love this because it looks so fucking real.
Absolutely. There is nothing that looks dumber than CGI fire.
I cannot stand it. Like every episode of The Walking Dead where something blows up or whatever, it always makes me pissed off.
Oh my God, I know. They'll have a great scene where there'll be a chant, like a cool. There was a cool scene last season where like Rick and Daryl are riding off and there's an explosion.
Yes.
And it should be awesome. And then like you look at it and it's just the fakest looking explosion of all time. Makes me sick.
People, I feel like they don't even blow up shit anymore for movies. I feel like it's all CGI now.
It's like people are afraid to embrace their inner pyromaniac these days.
These fuckers ain't good. Lord, it goes on and on.
Holy shit, he's blowing them away. Oh, I don't think that the body has busted out his gun yet. He's got a special gun that's just going to wreck shop. He may have already used it and I've forgotten it. But he has this awesome, like, specialized gun that he's going to try to use on the Predator later. And it is a badass gun. It, like, mows through everything. Look at these dudes, man. They don't stand a chance. Mm-mm. Arnold's just walking towards them, like, daring them to shoot him. He's not even trying to cover or anything. And these guys can't hit a damn the broadside.
Oh,
there it is.
I see his gun. Oh, my God. Holy shit.
This is awesome. Are you getting enough blood for your money, Jenny?
Oh, yeah. I love how they fly out of the explosion, too. That's the best part.
Yes. I don't know this for
everything
a fact.
Was, like, soaked in gasoline already, apparently, because it's like one little spark and it fucking explodes.
Yes. It was, Jenny, in the 80s, a horse carriage could fall over and explode, as I understand it. Now, I don't know if this is the truth, but I feel like people just flying away from explosions was invented in the 1980s.
Stick around!
Hey, stick around.
That was horrible and wonderful.
So, when I was at the, knock, knock. Oh, I can't interrupt this scene. This is good. There's like one liner after one liner. Knock, knock. Stick around. I can't even whistle. Damn it. Hawkins, call in position and situation.
You got it, Major.
I gave him. That's not his real voice. But wouldn't it have been great if it was?
Better. Oh, he knocked the chick out. Why is there a girl in this movie?
Because there's there's got to be a girl in it, Jenny.
There's got to be a damsel in distress.
If they're a goddamn Central American, I'm a goddamn Chinaman. Something pretty big was going to happen here. So maybe they don't know about the Predator, but basically the government had a secret operation going on that went mm-hmm. that backfired, basically, and that's what it really is. It's not just a simple rescue mission like they were told. Ain't got time to feed. Did you catch it, Jenny? There it was.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to bleed, gorilla. Everything he says, you have to add gorilla after it.
I understand, yes.
You know, I'm running for governor this year, gorilla.
So, is this the time period where a lot of wrestlers were, like, trying to get into movies and stuff?
Actually, it's funny you say that. I don't know about a lot, but there were some. Like, I think Jesse may have been the first, actually. It was him and Roddy Piper around the same time, because this is about the same time that Roddy Piper was filming They Live for John Carpenter. Mm-hmm. And those two both kind of pursued their Hollywood dreams at about the same time. Piper may have done Body Slam before this, or Pile Driver, whatever it was called. Or maybe after, I can't remember. But yeah, so Piper and Ventura were trying to do movies, and I think this is around the time, probably, when Vince and Hogan started spinning their wheels about possibly doing a movie together, which would become No Holds Barred. So right. Those were the three main ones that were trying to do movies at this time. You know, people like Terry Funk had been doing movies since the late 70s, but he never became like a star of a movie. He was always guest starring in Paradise Alley, the Sylvester Stallone movie. And he'd pop up in like Roadhouse, of course, which was maybe a year or two after this. So I wouldn't say a lot, but there were a few that were trying to test the waters around this time, because wrestling stigma was starting to go away a little bit in terms of people were understanding that it was show business and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, none of them really had long, sustained acting careers. I mean, Hogan did, but, you know, I mean, let's face it. He ended up doing, like, Three Ninjas, High Noon on Mega Mountain or whatever. So
mm-hmm. And then reality TV, of course.
Of course, with Hogan Knows Best. Mm-hmm. Now, Piper, I think, was probably the best actor of the three, but he also took a lot of bad movies after They Live. Because They Live was actually a flop at the time. And only in hindsight do people realize that it's perhaps the greatest artistic achievement in human history.
Oh, is that right?
Well, that might be pushing it. I mean, there is Predator and Commando.
I'll have to put that down on the list to watch.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that there are plenty out there that would love to watch it. I haven't seen They Live, gosh, since probably I was in high school, but I've always liked it when I did watch it.
I don't remember it. I feel like I have seen it, but I don't remember it.
Essentially, Roddy Piper runs out of bubble gum is what I remember about it.
Oh, that sounds right.
Came there, pick bubble gum and chew ass, and he's all out of bubble gum, or something. Shouting in Spanish. That's my favorite thing to do, according to this closed captioning here. Shouting in Spanish. So the Predator is kind of taking, what do you call this, taking a survey of mm-hmm. the plane to make sure that he understands all of his opponents and what their weaknesses may be and picks them out when they're at their weakest moment, when they're most vulnerable.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. He's marking. Oh, the damn scorpion. Shit. Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't trust Mac to stab me in the shoulder for anything. Listen, Mac, I'm sure Mac's a loyal soldier. I know he's friends with Dutch, but, I mean, there's just something cold and menacing about him.
That was a little bit of foreshadowing there, stomping under the boot of the gross alien insect.
That's right. That's right. Because, in fact, what just happened to that insect is about to happen to all of them
exactly.
at the hands of an evolved, nasty creature similar to that scorpion. There's – oh, my God. Even Billy's laugh is
– warped laughter.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that too. Billy! Billy! See, in my memory of this movie, Jenny, you'll find this sad – in my memory of this movie, like 75% of it is Arnold looking for people and shouting their name. Billy! 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 Mac! Mac, Mac, Mac! Just wandering through the jungle doing this. And that's, as my memory goes, like 75% of it. And then he fights the Predator.
Well, it's going to be a boring podcast then if that's what really happens.
Well, I don't think that's what really happens. Right. I think the Predator kills these people in vicious fashion.
Well, that'll
but
be better.
I think that you probably found this with Halloween. The key to horror is the build up to it. It's not so much the kill; it's the build to the kill. It's making you anticipate it, and the further they build that anticipation, the more effective the kills are. Now, this is interesting too. The kind of like see this little like vertical like sound pattern thing going on. That's pretty cool, too, I think.
I wonder if people were confused. Like, not kids, but, like, because, like, kids, this makes sense to them. But, like, adult people were like, what the fuck is this supposed to be? You know?
I'm not sure that that's the case to a degree. But, you know, I hesitate to voice this opinion, Jenny, because I don't know that it's actually true. And I'm sure I'll have people that will...
All of your opinions are true, Greg.
Well, they're true. See, look at how the Predator has squashed this scorpion mm-hmm. as well. So, but my thought is that people in the 80s were generally more open-minded when they went to the movie theater. I feel like nowadays people are very set in their expectations of things. And back in the 80s, you look at the movies that were successful in the 80s. Predator, Aliens, Terminator. I mean, gosh, how confusing could Terminator have potentially been? My God, what? I thought it was going to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie. Now you got these damn cyborgs from the future and all this shit, you know? Mm-hmm. But people went in and they loved it and they accepted it. It was these new, different ideas. And nowadays, I feel like, you know, we are kind of conditioned to we want to understand everything about the movie 5 minutes into the movie,
right? Not just let it happen or just...
Right.
Yeah.
We want to basically be placated for our expectations rather than allowing the movie to happen and influence us as it moves along. I'm guilty of that, too.
They must have had a lot of cocaine in the 80s then, right? That's the difference.
No, well, that... I don't know. I'm no scientist. I'm no biologist or anything like that. But I find it pretty hard to believe that anyone in the 80s would have used cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they were sitting around drinking a beer, mm-hmm, or something like that. But
Four Loko.
Right, a Four Loko, and with some dick pills, obviously. Mm-hmm. But cocaine, I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. That's a bit much.
Especially not somebody that is a wrestler, you know.
No.
They would never do that.
Listen, despite Nick Duke's crazy theory about wrestlers and their nostrils in the 80s, there's no proven link between drug use and professional wrestling.
Mm, obviously not.
Never. And if you'd like more opinions like that, please visit the WWE corporate website. And now the guys are kind of like, they don't know what the hell to do. They got this girl that they picked up that they don't know what her deal is. They don't know if they should trust her or not.
She can't even walk, so how the fuck is she supposed to get around this jungle?
She doesn't trust them either. She's just trying to get away and get free. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make sure that she stays in place and bring her back to their government. And they're making their way through this jungle that they don't really know their way through. So it's right now it's all the build up as they're getting worn down and their egos are clashing against one another.
In all of this nonsense, have I missed why they can't call for their pickup or what? Why they're still in the jungle at this point since they've blown everything all to fuck?
Well, they they're trying to get to their extraction point, basically. So that's the issue, is they can't, you know, their extraction point is different from where they came in at. And, you know, presumably to get back there, they'd all have to, like, crawl on their bellies to get back. So that would take a long time, as you can imagine.
Walking around in circles in the jungle is definitely a lot easier than that.
Yes. So they're also, they're being tracked by this creature as they're trying to get to the extraction point. And, you know, Billy, who himself is a tracker, look at him. Mm. He senses it. Can you tell?
Yes.
He's rubbing his magical necklace.
What's got Billy so spooked? How can they tell he's spooked?
Been acting squirrely all morning. That damn nose of his, it's weird. He's been using cocaine too, apparently.
That'll make anybody act squirrely, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. He'd been doing lines.
I like this girl. She's sassy.
She is. She got some agency to mm-hmm. her. She's a far cry from Radon Chong in Commando.
Good God, his arms are insane.
They are. Don't you just want to rub them?
I don't know.
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, must be. Kind of makes me want to run away.
Imagine that Arnold could just like wrap his arm around somebody's throat and then just flex at this point. His bicep would probably pop their throat. Pop their throat. I don't know if that's a thing or not. But what if it were? Wouldn't that be something? What the hell is wrong with you? Are you saying it's bullshit? He does say bullshit in this movie. It's coming. And when it happens, Jenny. You won't hear it, but I will react to it and I will say, look, he just said bullshit. Because as we all know, bullshit is Arnold's favorite cuss word. Mm-hmm.
Why do they have her hands still tied together?
They don't trust her.
Okay.
She's actually a rebel herself. She is a gorilla, not a gorilla rod. She is a gorilla, as in guerrilla warfare, that is trying to do something, and they're trying to get her back. So she's just trying to escape from them, basically, and they need to keep her occupied and get her back to civilization.
All right, so he's decided he doesn't see anything.
Yep. But Billy knows something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, she just whacked that dude right in the face. Predator panting. Don't we all, when Arnold's around? So, Jenny, you're if you were the Predator right now, who do you go after first in this group?
Well, seems like you'd either go for the weakest or the strongest, right? So he sees this one trying to get away.
I'm thinking, who would you say is the weakest of the group, other than the girl who's tied up, obviously?
Well, other than the girl, because the girl's always the weakest.
Well, only because she's tied up. I actually think she could beat the shit out of this guy.
She looks pretty feisty. Well, second to the girl has got to be the nerd, right?
Holy yes, shit. I was going to...
There we go.
Oh, my God, that blood.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, Jenny. I would have gone after Shane Black's character right here, just like the Predator did. I think it makes perfect sense. This is the weak link in the group, and he's being dragged off right now.
He knows because he's wearing glasses. That's how he knows he's the weakest one.
Absolutely. Big, giant, like, what would you even call those? Like, freaking, who was that character that Alec Baldwin played on SNL back in the day? Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I place my glasses between my thumb and forefinger and twist them like so. That kind of deal.
All right, so what about that effect when Predator was, like, all camouflaged coming out of the jungle there?
Okay, I can admit that's one thing that is dated.
Yeah, a little bit.
To me. Yeah, it looked that one. That did look a little obvious, 80s, you know. But there were you figure with what they're working with at this time, it's still pretty freaking amazing.
Still not bad. Yeah.
Pull that off, you know. I mean, it's oh my God, there he sees his friend's guts. That's pretty rough. And now think about this: you put yourself in the shoes of the commandos here. You find the girl and she's catatonic and she's got your friend's blood all over her. What is your first thought? Is it not this chick just killed my best friend or whatever? Well, let's face it. That guy was probably nobody's best friend. That chick just killed my fourth or fifth best friend?
Well, if she was badass enough to take out one of them, then she wouldn't be sitting there letting them, you know,
well, true.
Talk to her. She would be taking off, you know? She killed one guy. Keep on running.
What in God's name? I think it's Hawkins. What the hell is his body? There's no sign of it, boss. See, this is a mistake in this movie, by the way. This character over here, Pancho, should have been played by the guy that played Sully in Commando. You fucking whore!
So, does the Predator eat them, or he just kills them?
No, the Predator doesn't eat them. He just kills them. Right. To the Predator... The Predator is a sport hunter. So his whole deal is the way that, you know, these people that fancy themselves sport hunters will go and kill an elephant or something, and then they'll knock it, they'll stuff it or something and put it in their mantle or something. The Predator is doing the same thing to these people. The Predator views these people as its game, and it's hunting them for sport, basically, and for honor. Among its fellow, predators.
That's even more terrifying.
Oh, it is. It is awesome. It's like, are you familiar? Have you ever read the story? What is it freaking called? I should know this off the top of my head. I've read it so many times, but it's like The Greatest Game or something. It was a short story.
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
They go to, like, an island or something, and they hunt the guy?
Yes. It turns out that it's, like, this rich guy that hosts this hunting for sport, basically, a people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big influence on this movie, actually, just in the form of the Predator. There's a serpent. That's not metaphorical at all. Hey there. I see you're working your way through my jungle.
I had another question.
Liquid dripping. Yeah, I'll say.
Oh. So the Predator skins them and hangs them up.
That's right. It's like scalping back in the old West Indies.
Yeah.
And as we go through this movie, when we get to the end, if I don't forget, if you can remind me, I will try to explain why I think this is the only good Predator movie that's been made.
Okay, yes, I will remember that.
Oh, gosh. Nice. Yeah, that's a nasty visual.
He still had his skin, though, I think.
Yeah, just his guts had been ripped out. His organs.
So Jesse is the next to go? Or does he last longer?
Ooh, you know, it's interesting. I believe he might be. But I can't remember exactly. I feel like Poncho should have been the next to go. But I think it might be Jesse. Oh, look, it's just a little possum. Is that a possum?
It looks like a porcupine. Oh,
porcupine,
shit.
Thank you. Oh, that's not good. Oh! Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yes, it is. All of the blood splatter.
And now Mac is going to lose it because that's Mac's best friend on the team. And there it is!
There it is.
It's a ghost!
Oh, the eye effect.
That was cool. Yeah.
Sergeant!
He's yelling and he can't hit shit. Motherfucker!
Now it has glowing green blood.
He's literally wasting all of the group's ammunition now, by the way. Picks up the best gun that they have and wastes it all to mow down the damn forest. Come on, Mac. And now Gus joins him!
Just randomly shoot at stuff. That's...
I guess their thought is, well, Dutch is shooting at something. There must be something.
They're all
making faces that look like they're taking a dump. Look at it. Look at them, Jenny. Tell me I'm wrong. Now, granted, Mac's dump is very explosive, but everybody else is just. You know, Arnold's got the Andrew Garner super efficient dump face. Billy looks like a psychopath, but that's just his resting face. Oh, turns out there's nothing there, you dumbass, and you wasted all of our bullets.
They shot for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, the only thing they have done is mowed down the rainforest and ruined the environment. They've done nothing to the Predator. Dumbass.
I don't know. It's like they're supposed to be this super effective and efficient team. So why is their first, like, instinct to just, like, mow down the jungle? Like, wouldn't they, like, fall back on their training to, like, figure out the problem?
Yeah, you would think you would want to see the target before shooting at it. I think they thought since their friend Mac was shooting aimlessly that there must have been a horde of enemies in front of him.
Maybe so.
But, yeah, if you don't see anything, maybe you just stop and say, hey, wait, let's try to identify a target. And now Mac has gone off the deep end.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what he saw.
Jenny, you're going to love it. He is going to lose his mind.
Yes.
He's going to turn into like this catatonic, muttering zombie. You want to have some fun tonight? You want to have some fun tonight? But he's not going to have any fun. That's the irony of it. Tragic irony of Mac. What is Mac's full name? I'm going to look it up right now. Okay, Mac's name is... Oh, that's disappointing. Mac Elliott. I was hoping Mac was a nickname.
For, like, his name is Macaroni?
His name is Sergeant Macaroni Mac Elliott. And, of course, the woman is called Anna Gonsalves.
Mm.
Then you've got Dylan, whose real name is Al Dylan, but Dutch refers to him just as Dylan, of course. Jorge Pancho Ramirez, which, of course, Billy, what an amazing name, Billy Soul.
Soul, okay.
Yeah, that's a great name. Rick Hawkins, Blaine Cooper was Jesse's character, and then the one of my namesakes, actually, Jenny, is R.G. Armstrong as Major General Homer Phillips, who I saw at the beginning of the film. Do you want me to tell you a really cool a bit of backstage information about this film, Jenny?
Yes, I would like to know that, please.
Did you know that the original person in the Predator suit, do you know who that was? Originally. Not in this movie. He doesn't end up actually appearing in the movie. They replaced him in pre-production.
Kevin Peter Hall.
No, that's the actual man in the suit.
Okay.
I'm talking about the man who would one day later – this man would go on to become a megastar, almost on the level of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but not quite.
All right. Who is it?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-mm.
Yes, ma'am. A very young Jean-Claude Van Damme tested as the Predator for this movie and actually was on set – In the original Predator costume, the Predator originally looked much different. I encourage you, once this podcast is over, to look up this article on the history of Predator. I think it's on Entertainment Weekly, maybe Hollywood Reporter. And it goes through this really interesting history of how this movie was made and the original looks for the Predator, which, by the way, looked pretty awful before they got to this look.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Damme was originally the Predator. And the intention was that he could be a – this is before he was a star, but they thought they could make – they knew he was a martial artist. He could be a physical action style to make the Predator agile and ninja-like.
Mm-hmm.
However, they ultimately decided that Van Damme, compared to all these other guys that were bodybuilders and had gigantic physiques, mm-hmm. that the Predator would look too small if Van Damme played
him. I was just about to say, I don't believe you because he's like super short.
Right, and that's actually why they replaced him, because he was considered too short and not physically imposing enough against all these bodybuilders that were in the cast.
Makes sense.
And it all worked out, because mm-hmm. Van Damme would go on to film Bloodsport, which would come out, I think, the same year, or maybe the year after.
Oh, now you're getting to see him for the first time.
And he's bleeding for the first time with his green blood, which is not to be confused with Tony Schiavone's favorite – Black blood.
Don't get me off on the Tony tangent.
From what I understand, you get off on a lot of Tony tangents. That's just what I've heard. I don't know that for a fact.
Rumor and innuendo, friend.
It's not like we're in 35 chats.
It's not like I don't bring them up every other day.
Right, right. So what do you think about this? The blood effect here on the Predator?
I think it was awesome.
And he's expressing pain for the first time. So it shows you that this monster is not exactly like the typical movie monster, where they don't feel any pain and they're invincible almost, like a Mike Myers type. This is a monster that is vulnerable. That yes, he's very difficult to hurt, but he's vulnerable. He feels pain. And I think that's key, a monster that shows a little bit of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. And intelligence, because he was attempting to patch himself up.
Mm-hmm. And he has a technology to do so. Like, he had that little medical kit on him, basically. You know, the way that they're expressing this character that is smart, clearly smarter than the guys he's going up against. He's also more technologically advanced, and he's vulnerable. So it's kind of an interesting take on a quote unquote monster.
I think you missed it earlier when he said bullshit.
Oh, there'll be more. if it's an Arnold movie pre-90s, he's going to say bullshit a lot. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. It's all bullshit, all of it. Bullshit. Which is my favorite, because that's in Commando when he says that.
See? So
I told you, Max is in his damn mind.
This is funny to me, like... watching this with you, because some people might think that, like, oh, they're just like being, you know, like extremely talkative or silly or whatever during the movie just for the podcast or whatever, but no, like, this is what watching a movie with Greg is like. It's like,
yeah, as long as it's a movie that I've seen before,
right?
And it, like, you know, we're all not watching for the first time, you know. That's pretty accurate.
It's an authentic experience, so it's not.
If
it's
there
not
were flies on the wall for our viewing of Stephen King's Thinner,
well, I missed that one, but yeah.
Oh man, that's right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Still bitter about it.
I'm sorry. That ain't no man, Billy says.
We're all gonna die.
You know, Jenny, is he wrong?
Nope. He knows. Is there anything?
I mean, all facts, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. This man speaks fact. We're all gonna die. There's no point to anything. I mean, what's it all mean, Basil?
That would have been me in that jungle for real. I just would have been like, we're all dead. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not gonna let some alien man skin me up and kill me. I'm going to go get bit by that scorpion back there. At least then I'll have my innards. Here it is.
He's losing it.
He's sweating. He's not long for this world. I'm going to go ahead and say that, Jenny. I don't think he's long for this world.
Bless his heart. He needs to be taken out.
I'm going to cut your name right into him. I'm going to cut your name right into him. What'd you kill Jesse for? What'd you kill Jesse for?
Oh, shit.
Just that feller what got in a bad way with the entrails. Mm.
Oh, more explosions. What is it?
He wants to turn them into potty meat. Now, okay, so you're in the group. You're already throwing in the towel right now if you're in this group, right? You're already saying,
oh, yeah,
we're not going to make it. There's no point in going on. What the hell is he stabbing?
I don't know. Somebody else? One of the other guys?
I sure hope not. Got you, motherfucker. Where is he?
Probably not. Oh, what is it?
I don't know what the hell that is.
A boar?
Oh, yeah. It's a boar, yeah.
Gross.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't have made fun of him for that. That's a totally shit move.
At least he's, they can have some barbecue and shit before they
right,
die.
Exactly. They'll eat. You know, so that would be me. You know, hey, I'm going to have one last good meal before I get killed by this alien creature. Because I'm like you, Jenny. I mean, let's face it. Your odds aren't good, unless you're Arnold.
Yeah.
Clearly the only one of them that's good at anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure they all have good skill sets. Like, for instance, Poncho's a good cook.
And Billy is a good tracker.
He's a good tracker, that's right.
But he already determined that they're all going to die already.
They're all going to die. He's also a psychic.
Exactly. All people of Native American descent are.
That's exactly right. My paternal grandfather would often tell me that he considered himself a psychic on account of his ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, oh, that's interesting. And then there was that little British boy that walked up to him and said, I recognize you. You're that psychic. And he said, indeed I am. And that's that story. That's that reference to a movie that no one remembers from like 5 years ago.
That's psychic. It took you an hour, but you just derailed it. It's all right. It's worth it.
Now the woman is finally talking here. He's finally broken through to her. Dutch shook her, and she was shook by Dutch's presence, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does she know? She's seen it before?
Well, yeah, clearly, because her friends that have been mutilated by this...
Gotcha.
As Dylan just put it, fucking lizard.
That's a better name for this movie.
That was the original title before they went to the test screenings. And audiences didn't react well to watching fucking lizard.
Fucking space lizard.
Now see, Dylan you consider his history in the Rocky movies, he should try to box the Predator. The way that that guy in Jason Takes Manhattan tries to box Jason off the roof, if you recall. And actually does pretty well for a guy that's trying to box Jason. He gets his head knocked off in the end, but I think in the end, why not take that approach here with the Predator? Your guns haven't done a damn thing. Can't, because you've wasted all your freaking ammunition. And now you got Mac, who's over here planting explosives.
What is he doing?
He's planting
charges.
I don't know what. Yeah, charges. That's a good word for it. That's exactly what they are. That's why it's a good word for it.
Like a shark midget in WCW.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. With the fin and everything. Yeah. Flying, with the.
I'm sorry, little person.
Yes, and I believe that his actual name at the time was Cheatham.
Was it?
Yeah, his name was Cheatham, and he was known online affectionately as Cheatham the Evil Midget.
Nice.
So he was a guy that would pop up occasionally to cause mischief and mayhem.
As midgets do.
Right. Little people, actually.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, of course that's what you meant. Why'd you mean anything else? Chuckles. No, I love that. That little motion from Dylan looked like it was out of like the opening credits to a sitcom in the 80s. Oh, you. There goes Dutch again.
Now, what are they doing?
They're trying to set a trap.
Okay.
For the creature. They've set up an elaborate trap. It involves bending trees over. The catapults and whatnot. And they're trying to entrap the Predator the way that that guy entraps child predators on which I like to think this is the inspiration for that.
Meanwhile, the Predators watch them do all this. And,
right.
You know.
The Predator's like, what a bunch of fucking marks.
Looks like a good time for a shave.
Yes. Well, he shaves constantly in this movie. That's his gimmick. Everybody's got a gimmick in here. Jesse the Body chewed tobacco. The glasses guy sweated a lot and had glasses. Ponto speaks Spanish. Billy ominously tracks and makes vague references to the nature of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Dutch is just a badass. But yeah, Dylan's or Mac's gimmick is that he shaves perpetually in this film. Is it bad, Jenny, that made me cringe almost as much as anything else in this film to this
point?
Yeah,
no, because it was so, like, up close. It looked so real.
Real? I'm sure it was real.
Ugh.
He probably gigged himself, to use a wrestling terminology. Gig me like the butcher, he said.
Woo! Okay. She's telling a story about what? Okay, she's saying what happened to the dude.
Yeah, she's laying out exactly what happened.
So how long has the Predator been there?
I think it's been a matter of maybe a month, something like that. Maybe a couple months. They've even given him a nickname. Well, he's been there long enough for them to give him a nickname, the demon who takes men or whatever, souls of men. There it is right there. It wasn't it? Did that not look
I
like
I thought it was.
It sure looked like him. So what are you going to try next, cheese? And then Dutch is like,
fuck you, man.
Tell me more about your plan. How does this cheese work? Well, you plant the cheese, and it comes and eats the cheese, and it gets stuck in the trap. It could work. It's just bold enough to work. Dylan!
Is all this... okay, I'm trying to think of timeline, how long they've been in the jungle. This is day two, right? Or three?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Yeah, two or three, something like that. Gosh, a mighty... You can't trip your own trap, man. Come on. See, my palms are getting sweaty here now.
Yeah, they're doing a good job at making you wait for it. And since I live in Florida now, and it's going to rain every day, all I hear outside are like frogs. Just
this wall of frog noise. Freak you the hell out. You're basically living in Valverde now.
Yes.
This South American, Central American jungle, whatever it is. They caught him. Well.
Nope.
He used his technology to escape. And, oh, there goes Poncho! take that, Poncho.
Oh, man.
That's a set of broken ribs, at least. I mean, did you see that, Jenny? He just got close right in the butt. See, the camo technology is damaged, though. See, now he's starting to lose control of his camo a little bit.
That was pretty fucking scary. Like him hanging on the edge of the tree and then like coming uncamouflaged and like, oh my god.
Can you imagine in 1987 seeing this?
Dude.
Like, how freaked out would you be if you were like a teenager in 1987 or something?
I'm thinking maybe this is why the boys didn't watch this movie this much, is because they were scared.
Could be. This came out June 12th, 1987, for the record. Yeah, the monster at this point, the predator, we'll just call him at this point. If you're scoring this on points at home, folks, the predator's up.
Mm.
They just cannot get an advantage on him. Now Arnold's shirtless, which is common in his films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not what you were gonna say.
You don't know me. I am not so predictable, ma'am, that you can predict such things. See, now he's just singing Long Tall Sally to himself. Oh, baby.
And he's
getting
naked, apparently.
Yep, nothing wrong with that. I'm going to have me some fun tonight.
He has lost it.
He's lost his mind, and he's about to lose. Well, I'll just let it play out for you, Jenny. Mm.
Is that how you would be if you saw your best friend Nick Duke murdered in front of you?
If I saw my best friend Nick Duke murdered in front of me, would I start singing Long Tall Sally to myself?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I wouldn't do anything else, but I'd do that. I'd say, oh my God, Nick, you've been murdered. And then I'd look at the guy that murdered him, and I'd be like, well, Long Tall Sally, she built for speed, she got everything that Uncle John needs, old baby. And then presumably that man would shoot himself after I was doing such a thing. So
you would have your revenge.
And I would have my revenge. I say man. Let's be honest. The most likely person to kill Nick would be Danielle, his wife.
This is true.
But just kidding.
It would be justifiable.
Justifiable homicide. Oh, gosh. Then it would just be the hard-traveling fanboy. What a boring show that would be. Hey, everybody, I'm Greg Phillips, and with me is Nick Duke. Everything sucks. Strong word. Strong man. Captain Insano. Oh, man. Here's the other thing that's interesting about this movie is I've always wondered this about the Predator, whether the Predator is strictly business or if the Predator actually is having fun this whole time.
Ooh.
Like, is this a process that the Predator enjoys? Like, is this their does this make them feel the way that Arnold felt when he worked out, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or maybe it's like a retreat for them. Like, he didn't crash land on
this is like a vacation. Oh, my God. Okay. That is morbid, Jenny.
It's like where they come to, like, chill out and just, like, murder people for fun.
That's a great point. And, you know, that actually kind of the Deadliest Game, that kind of ties into that, too, because that's what that whole thing was about, is leisure for them, or leisure, if you're British.
There's no way he's not having a good time. I mean, he got hurt, so that sucks. But
yeah, I mean, that sucks, but
it just makes him even more determined to kill his prey.
And sometimes pain is the best pleasure.
Exactly. And then you have more satisfaction when you murder everybody. if you have to work for it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want an easy murder,
right,
really.
Right.
Maybe one or two murders could be easy, and you know, just to get you in the hang of it. But then you want satisfaction of the murder that takes a long time. Oh, I love that. This will become an iconic image in the entire Predator series. The three dots as the target. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you've ever,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh no! That was amazing.
That was the best kill yet. That was the best kill yet.
What the fuck was that? A laser?
Yeah, that was a fucking laser.
Oh man, does it show his face? Because I need to see that.
I don't know. I don't remember. Probably not, but maybe.
Because he probably don't have one anymore.
And then he's like Mel Gibson. He's the man without a face.
But like way grosser.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you know the man without a face? His face didn't look that bad, actually.
Was that the name of that?
Yeah, it was actually called The Man Without a Face. Right. And you know how I know that is because WCW briefly gave Brutus the Barber Beefcake the gimmick without a face.
Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Fucking Barber Beefcake. Now, he never pursued an acting career.
Wonder why not.
I don't know. Now, so we've just seen Mac get his gosh dang face blown up.
It was awesome.
And it was amazing. And it
he does have a face.
He does have a face.
How?
I know. We saw his brain splatter.
Yeah, we did.
Must have been an efficient laser. But that three-dot sight, where I was going with that, is if you've ever played Call of Duty, any of the Call of Duty games, they actually have those as like a I don't know how to pronounce the word, reticle. That you can put on your gun, so that when you aim at them, it'll do the three dots thing like out of Predator.
I need to tell Ethan that so he can do that. He plays Call of Duty all the time.
And then tell Ethan he has to go to the Raw House show with you.
I already tried to tell him that, and he wouldn't. It's not really about the wrestling. Oh, now this guy gets shot too.
Oh, his arm's gone! And it's still shooting! It's the best movie of all time. I love this movie so much.
Oh my god.
He lost his arm. The arm is still shooting. Now he's trying to... This is how much of a badass Carl Weathers is.
Oh my god.
He's missing an arm, and he's turning around trying to use his left arm, his bad arm, and now he gets impaled. This is worse than when he got killed by Ivan Drago. Oh my god.
Now, yeah, this is like... turned me around on is this a horror movie or not, because those are classic horror movie kills.
Yes. Billy just threw his gun away, and Dutch's like, Billy! Billy, let's go! Billy, you dumb fuck! Billy, you threw away your best weapon!
Well, fuck you,
What the fuck are you? You dumb son of a bitch! Now they're trying to get through the jungle here, and Billy's going to be the last stand. Hey, look at him. I love this scene, Jenny, because Billy thinks he's going to be such a badass, and he's going to be the last stand between the Predator and his friends. But, I want you to keep in mind that he threw away his gun. It was his one chance to beat the Predator. And now he's cutting himself. He's a cutter.
That is a badass knife, though.
It's an awesome knife. A great knife. A Crocodile Dundee-esque knife.
I don't think it's going to do him much good.
Well, especially when the Predator attacks him from behind like this. What a cheap shot. See, you just hear his scream. That's unfortunate, because like Billy had to... He's a tracker. He's supposed to be able to sense things. He should have sensed that the Predator was behind him.
That is true.
And the Predator... Oh, there goes Poncho. The Predator is not man enough. Not man enough to fight Billy one-on-one. Did you notice that? Or I guess not Predator enough. Ah! Dutch. Get out of here. Get to the chopper! Get to the chopper! Do it now! This is where that comes from, by the way, Jenny. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I did.
Get to the chopper! Do it now! You know, that's the one thing that made me realize that I never really made it in the news business. The fact that I never got to ride in an action news helicopter.
Well,
because one of my dreams was always to say, grab a photographer or something, say, get to the chopper!
Well, you were never going to do that in Dothan, Alabama anyway.
Oh, that's a good point. It would have been like an old Yugo or something. Get to the Honda Civic! Do it now!
Oh, shit!
Oh! He's just falling.
Slow motion falling.
Yeah, that was the way people fell back in the day, is they fell in slow motion and made swimming motions. Hey, he did a pretty good job of rotating, though. That water, by the way, that we see here that he's landing in, doesn't look nearly as clean as the water that he's actually swimming in now.
Yeah, I was thinking that looked like two different things.
Yeah. That was like some muddy water that he fell in. And now he's... Oh, God, he went down the waterfall.
Why is all the falling in slow motion?
It was an effect back then. It was considered more impactful if you showed things in slow motion. Because, again, it built the anticipation. You know, anticipation is a big thing in these kind of movies. Horror films. There's some really beautiful water, actually.
It is. Until that view.
Now, you live in Florida. You have beautiful water in Florida. Mm-hmm. How would you compare the water in Val Verde to the water in Florida?
Well, it depends on if you're talking about the beach water. Or if you're talking about...
Sewage water?
Yes.
Well, that's totally different.
Right. I'm going to go with the Florida beach water. And not jungle. Who knows what the fuck's swimming in that water?
Good point, Norm!
I expect him to be covered with leeches and shit when he comes out of there.
All I know is leeches are shit. He's dead either way. this is where he starts to figure it out. Notice that he's covered in all this mud and crud. It's going to help him conceal his body temperature because the predator, as you'll see, we already know this because we've seen predator vision. He sees body heat. That's how he tells who and where they are. And now Arnold's figuring that out.
Does mud mask your body heat, though?
That's not here nor there. Yeah. We're not here to talk about that. I don't know.
Mud
what
is...
am I? A jurisprudence or something? I don't know. What the fuck?
Mud is like temperature proof. Like it doesn't have any.
Yeah. Well, presumably, this is really cold. It might work. I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to your question, but I like to imagine that it does work. But if it does, if it's not scientifically accurate, Jenny, I would then suggest to you that neither is the predator itself.
Oh, now he's got
this is awesome. Look at, I mean, this is really cutting edge stuff.
It is, yeah.
It really is. I mean, it looks good in 2018.
It does.
A little bit of War Machine going on here with his shoulder cannon too.
I want to make a Predator cosplay now.
Oh, sad Predator. Oh, my goodness. I don't think I've ever noticed that before.
Did you sad Predator?
Yeah, sad. Did you see him? He held his head low. He hung his head down like, oh, I just wanted to kill him. Oh, now he's being sent off to his room.
He couldn't see me.
Yes, he can't see me.
All right, so is he the only one left now?
Yeah, I think the girl is still left, right?
They got separated, though.
Yeah, the girl ran off, and it doesn't. Honestly, it doesn't make any sense why the girl's still alive. You'd think the predator would have or went off and killed her. unless she's not considered the game that he's after. But maybe the Predator has a rule against killing women and children or something. I don't know, but
maybe.
I have no idea. I don't know what the Predator's moral code is, if he has one. All I know is he cheap shotted Billy.
Well, he couldn't risk him, you know, tracking him.
That's a good point.
The he Predator, had to do it all
yeah,
fucked up.
He knew it. Now, this is a cool trap. Now, Dutch is here building hurting bombs, as Rocky would say. And, you know, oddly unaffected by his deep arm injury that he suffered a few minutes ago. He's, you know, John Cena really did take a lot from this movie. You Can't See Me from Arnold just a minute ago to no selling limb injuries. you know, Arnold's just unaffected by that shot to the shoulder that he took. That's all right, though. He's Arnold. We don't pay to watch him sell. We pay to watch him on offense, baby.
What?
Now, here's the thing that I have to that I've always thought was cool about this movie, or about this character of Dutch, but that I always knew was like, just, oh my god.
What the shit?
That is the carcass of Billy, and he's going to rip his spine out. Oh, and his brain's attached to it. Oh,
gross. God. That was awesome.
His brain's attached to it. Oh, god. Oh, lord.
What's he doing to it?
He's like, I think he's like making it into a trophy of some kind.
Hmm.
Lord have mercy. So anyway, what I'm saying is Dutch, I mean, look, this clearly requires a great deal of knowledge to do what he's doing here. I mean, this man is physically and single-handedly, you look like Conan right there, single-handedly building an enormous trap and building his own handmade weapons and knows exactly how to set this whole thing up. I mean, it's very incredible what he's doing right now.
In the dark?
In the dark, yeah. In an unfamiliar jungle. He's using what's left of his technology here to supplement his natural resources here in the jungle. Gunpowder, of course, the key ingredient to any good trap. Remember, the 5th of November, Dutch's Predator plot.
Oh, okay, now he's got all their skulls.
Yes.
It's badass.
It's the kingdom of the crystal skulls here in Predatorville.
He's stroking it like a psychopath.
And he's stroking it like Tommy stroking his sail.
Pet it. Love it.
You're a naughty sail. You're naughty. That's what Predator's saying to that skull. Feel like my skull's on fire. Had to throw in a little Ghost Rider there. Comic book man, what a stupid thing to say. Nonetheless, I did say that. And here Arnold is putting on his what do you call that? The
magic mud.
Magic mud, yes. Mud, magic mud. Great hit for the Who in the '70s.
Mm-hmm.
Or '60s, whatever it was. Let's ask Todd.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Todd. Love you, buddy. Do we love Bobby? No.
No.
Really? Yeah, so guttural yell. There is nothing. You haven't lived. You haven't. Well, I'm not going to say you haven't lived. That's hyperbole, and I've never used hyperbole. So what I'll say is you might not have lived have you not ever heard Arnold's guttural yell.
Yeah, I'm going to have to probably watch that back and listen to that part.
It does not sound like some Rudy Pooh candy ass jabroni saying,
ugh.
"Ah, it's Arnold doing it."
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a manly, masculine
guttural yell.
guttural yell. Yes, guttural is ultimately what it comes down to. Intestinal. Now, you might think to yourself, Arnold's panting here. That's a sign of weakness. But in this case, I would suggest he's earned the right to pant from running because, again, he has just constructed a death trap in the middle of the jungle by himself.
And a bow and arrow or some shit, apparently, because it looked like he had a quiver on his back.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, I would ask, this movie, would you say that this is more a movie of man versus man, or man versus nature, or is it really man versus himself? Because what is the predator, Jenny,
I think it's man versus a fucking space lizard.
Space lizard?
Yeah.
Well, that is the other time-tested plot in fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this isn't good for Arnold.
No. Uh-oh.
His eyes. But I think in truth, in reality, Dutch sees a lot of himself in the predator. He sees the raw, savage nature of man manifested in this space lizard. Again, maybe not.
You could be right. I don't know.
No, I'm not. I was just bullshitting.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a space lizard. But he's a powerful space lizard. And look at him. He's about to find out that we humans aren't quite as dumb as he thinks we are.
What if in the scenario I've constructed where this is a vacation planet of death,
yeah.
What if this predator guy is like the dumb guy? Like, on his planet, he's like the fuck up. And then
so he's the to use your vacation analogy, he would be like the Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. Right.
And Clark, I'm just gonna go visit this jungle planet here for a few minutes.
But even then, he's smarter. Well, not he's as smart as us, as man.
Right. Even the dumb predator.
Even the dumb predator
is smarter than us than most of us, but. He's going to find out that man can be pretty, as in mankind, is Mick Foley, can be very ingenious in and of himself. Can come up. We are a resourceful people when push comes to shove.
He is just like unloading all of his fireworks. It looks like.
Yes, he is using Jubilee's mutant power to attack Arnold, who just fell from the tree.
That was a cool shot, though, him standing on that limb.
See, the Predator is doing to him as foolish an action as they did earlier when they unloaded all their ammo, you know?
Yes.
Although Dutch is very injured right now. You see he's bleeding from the mouth. He's bleeding from the leg and the arm. You know, he's limping at this point. He's really having a hard go of it.
So is the Predator, though, at this point. He's not that injured, but... His tech's wearing out.
His tech is really failing him right now. I mean, his camouflage is pretty much almost toast at this point. And he's got to be getting tired, too. He's been bleeding. He's lost a little bit of blood. You know, he's not at his full peak strength.
Mm-hmm. Arnold's full cross-eyed right there.
How freaking great does this suit look,
It looks amazing.
One of the great designs.
Yeah.
In Hollywood.
It's it's like menacing and alien and scary, but also like streamlined and like, I don't know.
Practical.
Yeah, practical. That's the word. It's awesome.
You can see why he's designed the way he is, why mm-hmm. his armor is there and all that stuff. And I don't know why, but ever since I was a kid, this has always been one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is this whole sequence of Arnold turning the Predator's game around on him and, like, actually being the one that's stalking the Predator
mm-hmm.
and hiding from it. And knowing that at any second, if the Predator discovers him, he could be toast. But it's whoever discovers the other one first is going to win kind of thing, you know, like he's trying to hunt down and track and destroy the predator. And I'm a big fan. And he has to use his wits. This is really one of the only Arnold movies of this decade where we saw his character have to use his wit to win instead of just his physicality.
That is a good point. That's interesting. I never thought about that in this movie.
Yeah, because you're seeing right now, I mean, Arnold, mm-hmm. yeah, he's doing a lot of physical, impossible feats of strength and everything, but the main thing is that he's having to use his brain to outwit the Predator because he can't beat him head-to-head. Mm-hmm. And we've never seen that from an Arnold movie before. It was very unique in that way. Bleed, bastard. Bleed. Come on, do it. Do it now. Kill me.
I am noticing that, like, a lot of the rest of the movie looked like it was a legit jungle. This looks like a set.
Yes. I would agree with that. There's the tracks of the green blood, which is really cool.
Yeah, I like that. Glow-in-the-dark blood.
Come on, you bastard.
And Arnold's eyes looking creepy as fuck.
Yes! Blood. His eyes being the only thing you see because of all the mud on him. I didn't say mud, I said crud. Thank you, Jenny. You might be the only person I've ever met that actually got that reference.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's so good. It's no Tommy Boy, but damn, it's still yeah, awesome.
It is awesome.
Uh-oh.
Shut up, Richard.
Shut up, Richard. I can actually hear you getting fat.
Oh, God, now I have to start a comedy movie podcast.
Yeah! All right, now Dutch knows he's a little bit in trouble because the Predator's onto him. Ooh, damn.
We're going to wash all his mud off. Then he's fucked.
He's fucked when that happens, yep. And not fucked in the Sully way. From Commando.
Luckily, there's more mud here on the bank of the river.
Right, but he's not going to have time to put it on, I don't think. Because now it's like... Now it's time for...
Oh, shit. He looks so badass.
That was scary as hell.
Now he just wants to fuck with him.
Yes. It's not. It's become personal now to the Predator. The Predator was expected.
Shit.
Oh, that's all. He's like, now the Predator is checking to see if this is even human. Like, what is this thing? How has he survived this long? What's his makeup?
This is creeping me the fuck out.
This is awesome. I'm so glad we picked this movie, Jenny.
Yeah,
it's
me
totally
too. A horror movie.
And now the Predator is like, all right. All right, you son of a bitch. Let's nut up. How you like me now?
Damn.
Hardcore Bob Holly. Spark plug. Now he's... Oh, yeah. Here we go. Get ready to see the real Predator. What's underneath the mask? What's under the mask? Bunch of hissing noises, apparently. He wants to go man to man with Arnold now. Or monster man.
Bare knuckle fight.
Yep. UFC style, baby. 5 5-minute rounds.
This is amazing.
You are one ugly motherfucker.
Oh shit.
What an amazing design. Yeah, there. You're one ugly motherfucker. I wanted the Predator to say, "Well, you're no peach yourself."
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, hideous, in a good way. Boom! Wow.
Like, I can't even say anything. I'm just, like, real caught up on, like, how awesome this looks.
Yeah, this is tremendous.
How do they get it to look like that?
I couldn't tell you. I think it's, I'm trying to figure out who it was that actually designed this suit.
The moving of the little claws on his face is just fucking creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't have said it better myself. It is fucking creepy as fuck. Who designed the Predator? Let's see here. Stan Winston. I thought it was him. Stan Winston designed the Predator suit and concept. And of course, Stan Winston is, you know, one of the most famous character designers in all of Hollywood, a special effects genius.
I believe it.
He helped design the Terminator series, Jurassic Park, Aliens, Iron Man. I mean, he's a genius.
Iron Man, really?
Yeah, he was involved in for the movie. We were working on the suit and everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this Predator design, holy crap. Talk about outdoing yourself.
Good Lord.
And unfortunately, there you see the X-23-like claws coming out.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like the end of the line for old Dutch. But one last trick up his sleeve. Come on. Come on. Do it. Do it. Come on. Kill me. I'm right here. Kill me. Gray Davis. Kill me. Come on. Do it now. I'm here. This is one of the great scenes of all time in movies. This is like that scene in Citizen Kane.
The Rosebud scene.
This is the do it. I call this the do it scene.
Much like the Rosebud scene.
Yep. Never underestimate a human, you ugly motherfucker.
Oh, shit. Does that kill him for real?
That was a giant tree.
That's kind of disappointing.
Hey, that was a gigantic tree. Up. There's life in him yet.
Thank God. I was going to say that's fucked up.
But Dutch is out of energy. He's got nothing left. Or does he? Oh yeah.
A giant
rock. He's
going to
beat the shit out of him. Gurgling.
Oh, yeah, this is better. Bash his head in.
Look at Arnold's showing sympathy.
What?
He feels bad for the creature. What the hell are you? What the hell are you?
Oh, come on.
Uh-oh, this isn't good.
He's just going to let him do stuff? Oh, it's going to blow up.
Yeah, it's like committing.
Yes.
It's committing what the ancient samurai called Harry Carey.
And then he laughs. Oh, my shit.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Oh, my God.
Phenomenal.
I fucking love the Predator.
Yes, he is so good.
What
and the self
was that,
self
did he turn into Thor or some shit?
Yeah, I was gonna say this, oh shoosh.
Damn.
The self destruct effect in this. Okay, so 80s action movies were obsessed with the lightning effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember Highlander,
yeah,
every time that there's a beheading, there's all this light lightning around. Mm-hmm. If you remember Terminator, every time a Terminator or someone from the future goes through, there's all this lightning everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this time, we're really obsessed with that effect.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Same deal, lightning.
Well, lightning looks cool, so.
Lightning does. What an odd, and I don't remember the end of this, to be honest with you. That I always think of this movie as ending right when the Predator dies. I don't even know what there is to after it.
It cut to the dudes in the helicopter, and they picked up the girl, apparently.
Yes, the girl got away and got to the extraction point and told them, presumably, what was going on with the Predator.
And then they saw the huge explosion.
Yeah, the huge explosion, and now he's just, now Dutch, just like, what the fuck? This was not what I signed up for. I did not sign up for all my friends to get murdered and me to almost get murdered by a giant space lizard.
Well, I mean, kinda, if you're a mercenary or commando or whatever the fuck he is.
Hold on a second now. We might have listeners out there that are mercenaries or commandos. And I would dare say, ma'am, that when you sign up to be a mercenary or commando, a giant space lizard is not in your expectation of what to fight.
Well, seeing all the people that you work with die probably
okay,
is.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair. You don't expect your friends to make it out. That's fair. That's fair. But again, I think it's more the method of the death here. Wasn't being shot to death with some sort of weapon of some kind. It was being hunted down and maliciously murdered by a space lizard.
A fucking space lizard. All right, so I'm reminding you about your thoughts about the sequels.
He's reading Sergeant Rock, by the way, DC Comics character Sergeant Rock. Anyway, I'm sorry, Jenny.
No, you wanted to say something about the sequels.
Okay, so in my opinion, this is still ultimately the only good Predator movie that's been made. And the reason for that is I feel like all the subsequent movies lost the charm and the, for lack of a better term, the swagger that this movie has. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I think we would both agree on about this movie is it's just entertaining the whole way through. Like there's shit happening, you know, there's interpersonal conflicts, there's action, there's scares, there's cutting edge technology, things like that. But there's also a sense of fun, for lack of a better word. Yes, these characters are all kind of stereotypes or archetypes at the very least, but it makes it for an entertaining movie because everybody kind of slides into their role. You've got one-liners flying. You've got your comedic side characters who you end up feeling bad for when they die. You know, you don't want Mac to get his face blown to bits, but he does. You also have a magnetic lead performance from a guy that you can believe can take on the Predator. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he can't beat the Predator head-to-head, I believe that Arnold Schwarzenegger can stand up to the Predator physically for longer than your average dude.
Right.
The problem in the second movie is, as much as I love Danny Glover, but I just don't buy Danny Glover as a threat to the Predator at all. And maybe it's my own fault for viewing him as Murtaugh, who's kind of close to retirement age, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'd never viewed Danny Glover as a good foil for the Predator. I also think putting the Predator in an urban environment is not as interesting as putting him in the jungle. I think the jungle in this movie, the setting, was a big factor of why it worked. I don't know if you would agree with that, but...
No, yeah, I would.
To me, by the way, there's a guy that worked on this movie named Steve Wang. Anyway... I just saw it on the credits there. Anyway, so the setting is a big factor here, and the jungle is just a more fascinating setting for the kind of story that Predator is telling. This deadly game kind of situation where you're dealing with a hunt going on. It's more interesting in the jungle, I think, than it is in the urban environment. And then with the movie Predators. I thought it was okay. I thought Predators was better. It was in the right direction, taking place on the Predator planet and all that is kind of really interesting. But the problem with that movie is it literally lifts scenes directly from this one. Like that, the scene where Dutch outsmarts the Predator at the end is pretty much taken almost verbatim from this movie. Now it does get back to the tried and true formula of having archetypes and, you know, your side characters and all that stuff that get mowed down one by one, and has a really good twist in it. So I have kind of mixed thoughts on it, but ultimately it's just not original enough. And I think the deal with the Predator is, while yes, this certainly could have set up for a sequel, given that you have to assume there's more than one Predator. Maybe this is another example, like Highlander, of a franchise that would have been better off left at one. Just my take.
So would you consider the sequels to be horror movies, or do they fall into the other genres that we talked about?
I would say the other. I definitely don't think Predators is a horror movie. I think that Predator 2 maybe, but really kind of not. I don't think so. I feel like this one is the most horror of the three. And Alien versus Predator, I've never seen any of them, so I can't really comment.
I don't think I have either. That might be something to do.
Yeah, that might be a fun one just to like check out, because I don't know anything about those movies. I know they existed and they weren't well reviewed, but you know, almost none of the genre films are well reviewed. So, who knows?
Do you consider Alien a horror movie?
100%.
Okay.
Not only do I consider Alien a horror movie, it's actually, I think, my favorite horror movie.
Well, I thought this was your favorite horror movie.
Well, let me specify. I think Alien is the scariest horror movie.
Oh, okay.
Other than The Exorcist. Exorcist is kind of in its own little world. But that's a different level. That's a different kind of horror. But yeah, to me, as far as movies that actually like – and I didn't see the first Alien until I was an adult, and it still scared the hell out of me. So this movie is not as scary as that, but this is great just in a this is great because it is a great action movie, and it's a great horror movie, and it's a great sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this combines the things that I like in movies, I think, the best of any horror movie. But Alien, as far as pure scares go, it works every time on me.
You know, I like this way more than I thought I would. Because I thought that we would just be pretty much making fun of it the whole time. And then I legit got into it. So I'm surprised.
I'm very happy to hear that. I think you would be surprised by the bulk of the Arnold repertoire. Not, you know, maybe Raw Deal wouldn't be for you.
Mm-hmm.
But Predator, I mean, Commando is freaking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Kindergarten Cop, which is, I think, a brilliant family movie, just a couple years after this. Twins is pretty funny.
Yep.
You know, Arnold's got a lot more good movies than people give him credit for.
You know, I always was a sucker for Last Action Hero.
Yeah! Yep. Last Action Hero is great, and it's got the – well, I only saw it, you know, maybe the first time, maybe 10 years ago, and it's got those great little, like, fake commercials at the beginning of it.
Yes.
Where it's like Hamlet starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. and it's like, Polonius, you killed my father. Big mistake. Explosion. And it's like, to be or not to be. Kill. Not to be. I mean, just brilliant. You got Stallone as the Terminator in that universe. That's a great one. One that doesn't get a lot of love that I've always liked is actually End of Days, which is one of his last movies before he went off to become governor. I think it's a pretty – I mean, it's generic, but it's pretty fun, actually. It's actually pretty tense. Gabriel Byrne is the villain in that movie. He's always been an actor I've enjoyed.
I was trying to remember. Oh, is this him? Throw Mama from the Train?
No, that was Stallone. Actually,
that was Stallone.
No. I'm sorry. I'm way off. I'm way off
Who
on
was,
that.
That's Arnold, though, right?
No, Throw Mama from the Train was Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal. The one that you're thinking of is Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
That's it. Yeah.
That's Stallone.
Okay. Well, I got all that fucked up.
No, but it's all in the same era.
Right.
Another True Lies. Everybody knows True Lies. What did you think of Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies?
Oh, she was Hachimachi.
Yes, absolutely. Or Hashmash, as I thought for the one.
No, I love her in that movie. She makes that movie, honestly.
Even Tom Arnold is awesome in
that
movie.
Yeah, he is. Oh, God, isn't that so weird?
Yeah, it is. So here's some other Arnold movies you might like. Conan the Barbarian. I don't know if you've seen that before. That's a good one. Not a horror movie. I don't know that Arnold has any other horror movies. No, actually, End of Days is a horror movie.
I don't know that I've seen that one.
It's about first of all, here's the only thing you need to know about that movie. Arnold's character name is Jericho Kane.
Oh, wow.
The Running Man is one of the greatest movies. Oh, you've got to see The Running Man. Because okay, here's the best line in The Running Man, Jenny. I'm going to spoil this for you, and it will make you want to watch the movie, or we'll have to unfriend each other. At one point, Arnold becomes the most angry I've ever seen a human being in a movie, and he actually utters the line. Let me see if I can get this right. Well, I'll live to see you eat that contract, but I hope you leave enough room for my fist. Because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine! Gosh, I'm getting chill bumps just thinking about it. Okay, then he got Red Heat to replace Captain Ivan Danko. Okay, Total Recall is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of maybe a little bit of a horror movie. Kindergarten Cop, where he's Detective John Kimble. I'm a cop, you idiot.
It is also kind of a horror movie because all the children.
The children, yes. And if you look at the hair of the villain played by Richard Tyson. I'm a cop, you idiot. Dominic, it's a ferret. So many great lines in that movie. And that one kid that gives him a lesson about boys and girls and their private parts and all that. And then you've got, of course, True Lies, Junior, which, okay, I'm not going to recommend Junior.
Yeah, no.
Eraser is, Eraser's all right. Jingle All the Way is amazing. Jingle All the Way. How could a movie suck when Arnold's character is named Howard? You have the most Austrian man that's ever lived, and you have him called Howard. Hello, my name is Howard Langston. I'd like to get the Turbo Man ball. And then you've got The Sixth Day where he says, why don't you go clone yourself so you can go fuck yourself? Oh, man. I love it.
Shit.
He has the best character names. I've never seen Collateral Damage, which was his last action film before going off to movies or governorship, actually second to last. And his character in Collateral Damage is Gordy Brewster. Hello, I'm firefighter Gordy Brewster. You might know my daughter, Catherine Brewster. And my cousin, Punky Brewster. Ow, Punky.
Don't get started with Catherine.
Now, Punky. I don't know what the hell's going on right now. I'm sorry, Jenny. I didn't mean to go to the point being, I'm glad you enjoyed Predator. I got to be honest, I wasn't sure if you'd think it was cheesy or whatever, but I'm glad you didn't because I think it holds up as one
it
of
does.
The best action.
It shockingly movies. Held up. I'm super, kind of blown away, honestly. And
what was the best horror element to you? Was it just the design of the Predator or were it some of the surprise kills?
The kills, for sure. All the blood. His look's just fucking creepy. That whole stalking feeling.
Yeah.
The being alone, being isolated in the jungle. All of it. I mean, all that's fucking scary, man.
Yeah, well, you touched on it just now. I think, to me, I've always had a hard time being scared by, the slasher movies, I think. Mm-hmm. They've never really worked for, scaring me that much. Maybe when I was a kid, obviously. But what's scary to me is, as I get older, especially in movies, is that sense of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
That sense of complete like one of the scariest movies that I've seen in recent years was not a horror movie at all. It was Gravity.
Yes.
Remember that movie?
Yes.
That movie scared the hell out of me because that's a nightmare I've had since I was a kid. It's just being stranded alone in space, mm-hmm. floating, knowing that you're going to die and there's nothing you can do about it.
Nobody to help you.
Nobody to help. Just, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking terrifying.
And claustrophobia is another thing.
Oh, God.
Being, I think that's why Alien to me is the best movie portrayal of claustrophobia I've ever seen.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Predator does a good job of that, even though, yeah, you could say, okay, they're in the jungle and it's wide open, but it's really not.
No.
They're pinned in. They're mm-hmm. stuck. They don't know where they're going. And they're being basically picked off one by one, and there's nothing they can do about it.
I love it. I'm a fan. You convinced me.
Very
now,
good.
Now I'm still kind of on the fence about seeing the sequels, but maybe I will.
I mean, some disagree with me. I think Russell's higher on Predator 2 than I am, for instance, and he likes Predators a lot, actually. I could be wrong about his feelings on Predator 2, but for me, none of the sequels have ever really – and we'll see about the new one. I have severe doubts about the new one, but I am excited that Shane Black's involved.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that one goes, but the other two sequels to this point have never really – energize me the way that this one did. This one just gets my blood pumping and it gets me excited. Obviously, yes, the action elements, which I'm a big action movie fan, but the horror elements, the way that it blends everything together, it moves at such a good pace. It's funny, it's action-packed, it's brutal, and it makes you care about these characters in a short span, which to me in modern movies, it's been a while since I've seen I can't say that. I just saw it with Mission Impossible, but it's hard. It's and that's a movie that's like five deep in its franchise or six or whatever it is. So, like, it's hard now for an original movie to do what this movie does because people, again, go in with preconceived notions of, you know, you see the Avengers, you know all their backstory already. You've already seen their movies. And, you know, you already care about them because of the prior movies. This has to introduce all these characters, and just through acting and through the way that they build the anticipation, even though I don't give a shit about Glasses Guy, played by Shane Black, I still was like, well, that's a sucky way to meet your end, you know? And then, of course, as it builds up, each death is more and more painful to watch, where it's like, oh, man, Dylan, you lost your arm, and now you're going to go out swinging. And there's even that – and there's the believable chance that Dutch might not make it out. Which is another issue with Arnold movies at times, is that you know that he's going to – I mean, there's no doubt that – as much as I love Commando, there's no doubt that John Matrix is going to kill everybody. You know, there's just no – you may not expect that he's going to throw a steam pipe through a man and then say, let off some steam. but you're pretty sure he's going to win, you know?
Also, I think that not explaining the Predator, just showing that – beginning shot of like ship on planet, and that's all you get. You don't have an origin story for Predator.
Reach
it's
it.
Just like just this thing that happens, and that's adds to the scariness of it, because you don't know where it came from or what the hell it is.
Your mouth to God's ears, because or Hollywood's ears at the very least, because man, I am totally in agreement with you. This why the people are so freaking obsessed with origin stories, I have no idea. The Predator works so much better if you don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another problem I have with the sequels. I don't really – yes, I want the natural – when you watch this movie as a kid, yeah, you want to know more about the Predators, but you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing that they reveal in a movie is going to be as interesting as your headcanon that you make up for the Predator. I've made this argument about Star Wars as well. There was no way, as good as it is, there was no way for the Clone Wars or the battle on Mustafar to be as interesting in reality as it was in all of our heads as kids when we made it up. And I think it's the same way with the Predator. Like, it's hard for the Predator – like, you, when you're a kid, you can come up with all these different theories about where the Predator comes from and why it came to Earth and all that, but you don't have to be explained that in the movie. The Predator's scary because it's the Predator, not because it had a troubled childhood on a boring planet or something. No, like, it's just, it is a force of nature, the same way that Doomsday was when he was first introduced in the comics, in Superman, a force of nature that had no explained origin, just showed up. The Joker is a perfect example, and, you know, I wish that, I don't want to go into a rant here on your show, but I wish that, you know, we could just have villains that don't have to have convoluted backstories, you know, spoon-fed to us, basically.
I agree. I am kind of a sucker for an origin story, but it doesn't have to be that way all the time, especially with a right. scary or like a villain or whatever. Like, I don't need all that.
Right. If it's a main character, it's different. Right. But like, you know.
Well, thank you for watching this with me and suggesting it for me. And where can people hear your other rants?
Oh my gosh. Well, if I haven't driven all your listeners off by now, they can find me every week at Place to Be Nation Pop on the longest running weekly episodic comic book podcast in all of Place to Be Nation, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, alongside my co-host Nick Duke, who I shouted out earlier. People can also find me on various guest shots here and there. Most recently, the HTF did the comic book draft, actually, which you're a part of, Jenny.
I was.
And we had Master of Ceremonies Nick Duke making some controversial decisions throughout the show. Mm-hmm. This was a blast. It's one of my favorite thing that we do, actually, at PTB and Pop. We only do it once every 2 years. That may be changing. We'll see.
Oh,
and
God.
It's just a lot of fun. We had a big panel. We drafted comic book characters and creators. Also, be on the lookout. Myself and Todd Weber and Tim Capel will be soon debuting a podcast looking at the Marvel trading cards of the 90s. Kind of a special – we don't know yet if it's going to be one podcast or a series of podcasts, but we're looking forward to rolling that one out in the coming weeks.
Well, look at there. That's new information to me.
Yep.
I didn't even know that, and I'm in the inner circle. What the fuck?
Yeah, we haven't actually recorded it yet. We've kept it kind of close to the vest because I'm trying to get up enough time to figure out what exactly we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be a fun time. Those 90s Marvel cards, for anybody that remembers them, were a huge part of each of our childhoods, me, Tim, and Todd. So,
what about on Twitter or the social medias?
Oh, gosh. On Twitter, as I mentioned earlier, at JRsBBQ, you can – no, actually, it's at G Phillips, GPHILLIPS, 8652. That's where I can be found on Twitter. On Facebook, I'm just Greg Phillips. And also, I can be found all the time at the Place to Be Nation Comics group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search for Place to Be Nation Comics. It'll pull us up. Also, we have a Twitter, PTBN Comics, loneliest Twitter address on the internet. And other than that, I think I have still a Place to Be Nation email, gregp@placetobenation.com, which you can tell I check a lot. And I think that's it. That's all people need to know about me. I don't want to run my mouth anymore.
Well, I do want to plug something else that we did was you were on a episode of Talk and Pop, which is
one
of my
other
shows with Tim Capel, when we had another all-star gathering, and we talked about Beverly Hills 90210. So that was something.
That was so fun. Like, yeah. No lie, Jenny. That was – I wasn't sure how that was going to go because I haven't watched the show in so many years since I was a kid. I mean, I watched probably – gosh, every episode from season 2 through whatever season Dylan left, and then I didn't watch it again. I haven't watched any reruns or anything, so I was like, man, I'm not going to fit in here at all because I'm going off memory. But you guys made it an awesome environment, and it was so much fun.
Oh, thank you. I was, you know, kind of the odd man out on that because I didn't grow up watching it, so, you know, I didn't know how it's going to go either. But I think that there might be some more episodes like that, because there's a lot we didn't get into.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just throwing this out there. I have recently discovered that Melrose Place is indeed streaming online.
Oh, Lord. Where at?
I'm trying to remember where I saw it. One of the many, many apps that I have had it on there. I want to say that it is on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Maybe? I will check that out.
Double check.
All right. The only other thing I had is the second anniversary of Geek and Sassy is coming up. So
yay!
We have something planned for that, so hopefully it will come out near the second anniversary of our show. Timing and planning has been an issue with us, but it usually is. But that's it. But thank you for listening to Freak Out Drive-In, and thank you, Greg.
Thank you for having me on Freak Out, Freak Out, Freak Out Drive-In. Yeah.